We have five readings this morning. The first one is found recorded in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 22. And this discussion is about Paul. And the question is, how do we become a missionary? You notice that some words are darkened in. Those are the words we encourage you to read out loud as we go through this service. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. So if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one.
Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus called Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in him and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake."
And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. In Christ Jesus, whom we are not ashamed to proclaim to the rest of the world as Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed. You probably noticed our cover this morning. It says Missionaries of Christ. It was our VBS theme. And that's this morning's discussion, speaking about missionaries. That title, Missionaries of Christ, can be understood in two ways. Missionaries belonging to Christ, and missionaries for Christ. We pray by the end of this worship service that those of us who belong to Christ will realize that every single one of us is a missionary for Christ. And that's why there's a space right there for you to put your name next to the other five missionaries. If you leave this morning, maybe you can do that as you go home. Say, "I too am a missionary for Christ." The statement that beautifully sums up our worship service this morning, it is this. Christ says to every lost sinner, "Come." And Christ says to every converted sinner, go. My first Bible lesson this morning was the conversion of Paul. And the question is, how do we become a missionary? Well, we become a missionary in the same way that Paul became a missionary. And that is through conversion. Conversion means turning around. Turning around from unbelief to faith in Jesus. Turning around from serving Satan and self and sin to serving Jesus. Turning around from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. How does that come about? Well, conventional wisdom would say, man, human beings, have to decide to believe in Jesus. You got to choose to believe in Jesus. But the Bible clearly tells us that that's impossible. Conversion of a human being, an individual, is only the power of the Holy Spirit working upon the heart of the individual through the gospel message. We declare that to be true every time we confess this passage. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Also, when we confess this passage, it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Man cannot make his own decision for Christ because by nature, human beings are spiritually dead, spiritually blind, and enemies of God. If there ever was an example of someone who didn't make his decision for Christ when he was converted, it's this one, Paul. For as was known before his conversion, Saul was obsessed with one thing in his life, and that was persecuting Christians like you. He hated Christ. He looked upon Christ as being a fake and a fraud. He went to faraway places to hunt down Christians, to arrest them, bring them back to Jerusalem, put them on trial. Hopefully, they'd be either renounce Christ or be put to death. And so on one such of those trips, as he was going to Damascus, the Lord Jesus himself appeared to him in the sky and asked him that very famous question, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul, blinded, sat in that home on Straight Street in Damascus. And the servant of the Lord, Ananias, came to him and spoke the word of life to him. We're told something like scales fell off his eyes and he could see. But a greater miracle than that occurred when the scales of unbelief and the scales of work righteousness fell off of his heart, and he could see spiritually. He no longer hated Christ. He now worshipped him. He now loved him. He immediately began to proclaim him to other people. The Holy Spirit, through the law, brought Paul to see his lost condition, that he could not save himself by his own good deeds, showed him his need for a Savior, and the gospel confronted him with that Savior, Jesus, and worked in his heart faith to believe that. That perfect substitute who came to live a perfect life for us, and that perfect substitute who died upon the cross for us, was no longer rejected by Saul. He now was believed in by Saul. And that's the first step in the process of becoming a missionary. We are converted by God the Holy Spirit to be his children, to be his own. The second step is the call. Ananias was told, Paul is my chosen vessel to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now, it's true, none of us have been called to be an apostle. And yet, we've all been called. You and I, as Christians, were called when God gave to his children, the church, that great commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That call was given to you too when the Lord Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's my calling, not as a pastor, but first and foremost as a Christian. And that's your calling too. As a child of God, a Christ believer. So, as redeemed, blood-bought, converted sinners, the Lord says to every single one of you, go. Our second reading this morning is Philip, Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. What does the missionary say? Again, we ask you to read the words that are boldened. Now, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot."
So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone has me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?"
Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So, where to go? Go and speak. Speak to people. But speak what? There are far too many so-called missionaries, pastors that fill the airways today, that are preaching what they want to preach. They speak their own words, their own wisdom, positive possibility thinking, or a mishmash of spiritual things saying, "You do good, you be good, you are good, and God will love you for it." Or, "It doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere in your belief." No. God says he calls us to speak one thing: his word. Mother once told me that her child asked her why they needed to go to Sunday school to hear the same old stories over and over and over again. And she said she didn't know how to answer them. Well, I said, the answer is very easy. Hearing it once isn't good enough. How can we tell others about Jesus and about the Word if we've only heard it once? We need to hear it over and over again, so it's part of us. As the Bible says, we need to inwardly digest the Word so we can outwardly project the Word like Philip did to the Ethiopian. He shared the good news with this man. We're told he opened his mouth and he preached Jesus to him. He answered that man's question: "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Okay, let's put you on that desert road to Gaza. And the Lord said, "You, run up to that chariot." And you're up to the chariot, and this man asks you that question. I mean, Isaiah, so who's he talking about? Would you know the answer? Would you know whom Isaiah was speaking? Would you know who that silent lamb who was slaughtered was? Would you know that Isaiah wrote those words 750 years before Christ was born, and it talked about Christ's suffering, his death, his crucifixion? Philip did. We also know that he ran up to that chariot, for mission work is urgent work. Every single hour, thousands of people die around the world and face eternity. Most of them without hope. They have no faith, no trust in Jesus. We don't have a moment to lose. Maybe some of them are your unbelieving brothers and sisters. Maybe it's unbelieving parents or relatives or friends or boss or fellow workers or classmates. We need to get out and tell the word to them. It said that when David Livingstone went into deepest, darkest Africa to find Dr. Stanley, that a converted, believing African chief said to him, "Tell me, since it is true that all who die in unbelief are lost forever, why did your people not come and tell us about Jesus a long time ago?" We need to share the word with the world. The calling of every Christian is to be evangelistic. That means to proclaim the good news. Continue with our third reading about Stephen from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Being a missionary may not be easy. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Speaking now to the unbelieving Jews around him, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So, we do go out and get the message out. Praise God. We tell our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, even strangers. And what happens? Very often, rebuke. Maybe even harassment. "Keep your good news to yourself, you Jesus freak. Don't you tell me what to do and judge me. How do you know that you're right and your way to heaven is the only way and everybody else is wrong? Don't push your religion on me." Or worse yet, Stephen put his life on the line. How could he do that? How could Stephen continue to preach the word of God knowing that he was going to be stoned to death? Did he have a faith that was just so much greater and more powerful than yours and mine? No. He simply trusted that the Lord would see him through. And the Lord did. The Lord gave him the strength to be able to confess that word of God, that powerful message of salvation through Jesus Christ, until death. And the Lord gives you the same promise. He says to us, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." Stephen lived his Christian life fearlessly. He wasn't chosen to be an apostle. He was chosen to be a deacon. He was supposed to just serve the widows, the orphans, the poor, with food, clothes, with money. But he went far beyond that. He told them the best food was the bread of life. He told them the best gift was the gift of life and peace that you receive through Jesus Christ. He fearlessly proclaimed Jesus. He had been touched by the Holy Spirit to believe in Christ, and so he told others the same thing. Stephen shared the good news with others, and it cost him his life. Or we should say, he won eternal life, a life that never ends, alone through Jesus. His dying words, may they be on our lips as we're dying. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. We also see that Stephen was amazing in his love. He loved even his enemies. He even loved those who were picking up stones and rocks and throwing them at him. He asked for forgiveness for his enemies, just like his Savior had done years earlier when he asked for the Father to forgive those who were nailing him to the cross. May we also have such love for those who reject us, reject our message, so we live in peace and harmony with them and have the opportunity to bring to them that good news, the law first and then the gospel, the law to convict them and us to show us our sins and our need for a Savior, and the gospel to show that Jesus has come to live and die for all mankind. Forgiveness is free through Jesus Christ. And the more we give away the gospel message, the more we keep it in our hearts.